Okay, tonight, excuse me, tonight we are going to look at Book of Ecclesiastes. Who can tell me what the word Ecclesiastes means? That's a $2 word. And if you
were the preacher.
He's the preacher, excellent. Or teacher, very good. So, again, this is classified as in the book of poetry, and we see that it has, according to man, 12 chapters, and the key thought of the book is life without God is empty, and how true that is. In the content of the book, we see that this is the result of Solomon's quest for meaning in life during a period of his life when he was away from God. His conclusion is that life is empty apart from God. And that is a very true statement. When you feel that life is beating you up, and you allow the pressures of the world to control you, go to the book of Ecclesiastes and see what Solomon had said concerning all these things. It's a vain life in itself without God is empty. And the key lesson from Ecclesiastes, we could see life to have meaning must be lived in the fear of God. And as Christians, we should be mindful that we live in a world that so many other people, worldly people, don't have God in their lives. And our responsibility as Christians, to the best of our ability, is try to influence them so that they can turn to God. And as we look at the book of Ecclesiastes, we see that Jesus is our meaning in life. Without Jesus in our lives, we will not have salvation. We will not have the opportunity for eternal life. So, the book of Ecclesiastes never mentioned the writer. Nevertheless, Solomon was the author of Ecclesiastes. And we can conclude this with the following verses. He was the son of David and a king. Well, David had two sons who were kings, Solomon and Rehoboam. We read in Ecclesiastes 1:1. Can I get a volunteer for that one, please?
The words of the preacher, the son of David, in Jerusalem.
Thank you. And so we see that the word of the preacher, he was a son of David and also a king in Jerusalem. He ruled all of Israel in Jerusalem. Can I get a volunteer to read Ecclesiastes 1 verse 12, please?
I, the preacher, have been king over Israel and Jerusalem.
Thank you, Di. We appreciate that. So the preacher, he ruled all of Israel from Jerusalem. And this is the key verse that will nail it for Solomon as opposed to Rehoboam. And he was a man, he was a wise man of great renown. that doesn't fit Rehoboam, but it does fit Solomon. In Ecclesiastes 12, verses 9 through 10, can I get a volunteer for that one, please?
In addition to being a wise man, the preacher also taught the people knowledge, and he pondered, searched out, and arranged many proverbs. The preacher sought to find delightful words and to write words of truth correctly.
Thank you very much, Eileen. So this profile fits Solomon. We just studied the book of Proverbs last week in our overview, and he had written a lot of proverbs for us to ponder in our lives. And he has written them that covers the full gamut of things that we will encounter in our lives. And we should ponder upon those proverbs because they're meaningful. And according to Ecclesiastes, chapter 12 and verse 10, he wrote words of truth correctly. So he was inspired by God to write Proverbs. And also we see that Solomon was inspired by God, declared the results of all human wisdom, of earthly advantages and aspirations, of indulgence in everything that wealth and wisdom can procure, which might show fair promise of producing utmost happiness on earth. So if you're a worldly person, you are pursuing these things. But they are vain. They are not going to give you the necessary tools in your life to be a productive Christian. We see that there is an emptiness in Ecclesiastes that comes from not having a relationship with God. We look at people in the world and we see them being successful. They are living high on the hog, so to speak. But there's an emptiness in their lives. They don't have that relationship with God as we do as Christians. And we should be privileged to have this relationship with God. Because if it wasn't for our relationship with God, we will be losing out on eternal life. The first seven chapters of the book of Ecclesiastes describe all of the worldly things under the sun. The preacher tries to find fulfillment in the following. He tries scientific discovery. And a lot of people look at what science gives them and they don't give God the credit. We look at the universe around us. He created us, created it out of nothing. But worldly people try to justify things scientifically. In Ecclesiastes 1 and verses 10 and 11, is there anything of which one might say, see this, it is new. Already it has existed for ages which were before us. There is no remembrance of earlier things, and also of the later things which will occur. There will be for them no remembrance among those who will come still, come later still. So when you put all your trust in scientific discoveries, you forget that God had did this. This universe, he created the heavens and earth, and he even created us, and he even provides for us, even the very air we breathe. We see again that the preacher, Solomon, tries to find fulfillment in wisdom and philosophy. Can I get a volunteer to read Ecclesiastes 1, verses 13 through 18, please?
And I set my mind to seek and explore by wisdom concerning all that has been done under heaven. It is a grievous task which God has given to the sons of men to be afflicted with. I have seen all the works which have been done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity, striving after the wind. What is crooked cannot be straightened, and what is lacking cannot be counted. I said to myself, behold, I have magnified and increased wisdom more than all who were over Jerusalem before me, and my mind has observed wealth of wisdom and knowledge. And I set my mind to know wisdom and to know the madness and folly. I realize that this is also striving after the wind, because in much wisdom there is much grief, and increased knowledge results in increased pain.
Thank you. So when he explores wisdom, if you take God out of the equation, it's all vain. You, as an individual, and Solomon is sharing what he's been inspired to write to us, to realize that wisdom comes from God. Knowledge comes from God. And it's up to us to incorporate that in our lives, as opposed to chasing after the wind, chasing after worldly things that will not allow us to receive God's grace and mercy for eternal life. He tries pleasure to fulfill his needs, as looking at worldly things. In Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 1, can I get a volunteer for that one, please?
I said to myself, come now, I will test you with pleasure, so enjoy yourself, and behold, it too was futility.
Thank you, Sharon. Pleasure will give you joy for a short while, but in the end, it's not going to draw you near to God. So the preacher tries pleasure, and he says it's futile. He tries alcohol. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 3. Can I get a volunteer for that one, please?
I explored with my mind how to stimulate my body with wine while my mind was guiding me wisely, and how to take hold of folly until I could see what good there is for the sons of men to do under heaven the few years of their lives.
Thank you, Carolyn. People in the world try to stimulate themselves with alcohol, and they think they are winning the battle. But as the preacher says, they're just chasing after folly. And after a few years, what's going to happen to their lives? And we could see what happens with alcoholism. It destroys the liver. It destroys families. It's not a place to be. And he's saying, look, he tried these, and it's not going to give him pleasure. It's not going to give him happiness. He tries architecture. There are a lot of, and I'm impressed with many of the architects who conjure up structures that are magnificent. We see back in the day of the Egyptians how they build the pyramids. We see how the Romans built the aqueducts and paved the streets for roads. And he goes on to say in Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 4, can I get a volunteer for that one, please?
I enlarged my works. I built houses for myself. I planted vineyards for myself.
Thank you, Faye. So we see that he's doing all these things. But what does that gain him if he doesn't have a relationship with God? You can't find fulfillment in material things. He goes on to further say that he tries to acquire property. In Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 7, can I get a volunteer for that one, please?
I brought male and female slaves, and I had homeborn slaves. Also possessed flocks and herds larger than all who preceded me in Jerusalem.
Thank you. So he had the ability to acquire slaves, and his flocks and herds were larger than all those kings before Solomon. But what was the point of having all this property if you don't have a relationship with God? And he sees that. He tries luxury. In Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 8, also I collected for myself silver and gold and the treasure of kings and provinces. I provided for myself male and female singers and the pleasures of men, many concubines. So he tries luxury to give him life's fulfillment, but it's all vain. It's empty again without God. In Ecclesiastes 2 and verse 19 and 20, can I get a volunteer for that one, please?
And who knows whether he will be a wise man or a fool, yet he will have control over all the fruit of my labor, for which I have labored by acting wisely under the sun. This too is vanity. Therefore, I completely despaired of all the fruit of my labor for which I had labored under the sun.
Thank you, Di. So we see that if you put all your trust in the labor that you perform, whatever you do as you dwell on this earth, the preacher says, this too is vanity. He found that everything was meaningless, a temporary diversion that without God has no purpose or longevity. We as Christians should put our trust and hope and what God has for you and I. The preacher turns his mind towards different philosophies to find meaning, such as materialism and even moral codes. We see that in chapters 8 and 9. In chapters 8 through 11 of Ecclesiastes, describe the preacher's suggestions and comments on how to live, how a life should be lived. And that is so important for you and I, that we shouldn't be chasing after earthly things. We should be focusing all our thoughts and efforts on praising, honoring, and glorifying God. And his conclusion, he comes to the conclusion that without God, there is no truth or meaning to life. He saw many evils and realized that even the best of man's achievements are worth nothing in the long run. And how true is that? We see that we're here just for a speck of time. Our lives could range anywhere from 1 minute to 100 years. And I'm shooting for the latter. However, when we put things in its proper perspective, no matter what we accomplish, no matter what we achieve, no matter how people praise you for what you have done, in the long run, it doesn't mean anything without God. And Solomon sees this in his life at this particular point in time. And he's sharing these thoughts with us, so it gives us a better perspective on how we're supposed to live, how we're supposed to interact with not only our Christian brothers and sisters, but those in the world. And we have an example of that in Christ Jesus. He advises the reader to acknowledge God from youth and to follow his will. So when we read Ecclesiastes, we as the reader should acknowledge God for what he had given to us and to follow his will. We have seen thus far in the Old Testament how the children of Israel negated to follow Jehovah's will. Many times they didn't acknowledge their God. And we as Christians should realize without God and without following his will, we will be lost eternally. Can I get a volunteer to read Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1, please?
Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, when you will say, I have no delight in them.
Thank you very much, Carol. So we see, remember God, he created us from the days of your youth. And it's important that we do this. There's going to be times when Satan will use everything in his arsenal to pull you away from God. And as we dwell on this earth, we should, again, acknowledge God as being the creator. And he is in control, not us or Satan. And we should stay away from evil. In Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13 and 14, the conclusion when all has been heard is, fear God and keep his commandments. Because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. Again, fear God and keep his commandments. Acknowledge God as as our creator and follow his will, keep his commandments. Even Jesus, when he was here on this earth, he put himself in subjection to Jehovah. We as Christians should follow his lead and emulate this in our lives. Ecclesiastes gives Christians a chance to see the world through the eyes of a person who, though very wise, is trying to find meaning in temporary human things. Most every form of worldly pleasure is explored by the preacher, and none of it gives him a sense of meaning. When we read Ecclesiastes, we see that the preacher is doing everything to find happiness, although temporary, in human things. And the worldly pleasure that he explores doesn't give him a sense of meaning. How true it is for us today when we pursue things in the world rather than recognize God as our creator, recognize that his will is something that should be in our lives. We have so many examples before us in the New Testament, so many examples in the Old Testament that put God first, no matter what the cost was. We studied the book of Job. No matter what Satan had thrown at him, he still recognized God as his creator and his sustainer. We should do the same. In the end, the preacher comes to accept that faith in God is the only way to find personal meaning. That applies to Christians today. Our faith in God is the only way we could derive happiness in this world. It doesn't matter how much wealth you have. It doesn't matter how much success you have. It doesn't matter what people say about you. Your faith should stand out to all people around you. Just as Solomon sees here. And we know what happened to his life. He was a good king when he first took the reign of Israel. But when he started to seek worldly pleasures, it drew him away from God. And in this particular book, he sees that it's important. It's important to have faith in God so that we can be happy and find personal meaning in our lives. He decides to accept the fact that life is brief and ultimately worthless without God. True, we could find happiness and wealth and material things. But what's the sense of that if we don't have God? And that's what he's sharing with you and I today. the preacher advises the Christian to focus on an eternal God instead on temporary pleasure. We're here for a short time, our lives here today. And there's going to be a point in time when each and every one of us, and there's no exception, will come before the judgment seat of God. And he will judge our life, our good deeds and bad deeds. And I hope and pray that with his grace and mercy, each and every one of us will obtain eternal life. Ecclesiastes offers the Christian an opportunity to understand the emptiness and despair that those who do not have to, who do not know God grapple with. We see that worldly people, when they don't have God, their lives are in disarray. And when you read Ecclesiastes, you could see what the preacher described about the vanity of pursuing worldly pleasures, worldly wealth, worldly fame. Those who do not have a saving faith in Christ are faced with a life that will ultimately end and become irrelevant. If there is no salvation and no God, then not only is there no point to life, but no purpose or direction to it. In Christ, life is but a shadow of the glories to come in heaven that is only accessible through him. And that's why we as Christians have the responsibility to share the gospel message when we have opportunity with all those around us. Because if you're not a Christian and you don't have Christ in your life and do not follow God's plan of salvation, you will be lost eternally. For all the vanities described in the book of Ecclesiastes, the answer is Christ. We see that God judges the righteous and the wicked. And can I get a volunteer to read Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 17, please?
I said to myself, God will judge both the righteous man and the wicked man for a time for every matter and for every deed is there.
Thank you, Faye. So again, we see that there's going to be a day of judgment for each and every one of us. And he's going to look at our lives, and we're not going to be able to hide anything because he knows everything. We also see that in Christ, all sinners are reconciled to God. Can I get someone to read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 19, please?
Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation.
Thank you very much, Carolyn. So when Paul was sharing this scripture with saints at Corinth, he's reminding them, as he's reminding us, that God reconciled us through Christ. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. That's a $2 word. When you think about being reconciled, you think of being made right. And before Jesus came, all of us were sinners. And in order for us to be saved, God sent his son so that we can have the opportunity to merit and gain heaven by God's grace and mercy. We also see that God had placed the desire for eternity in our hearts. Can I get a volunteer to read Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, please?
He has made everything appropriate in its time. He has also set eternity in their heart, yet so that man will not find out the work which God has done from the beginning even to the end.
Thank you. So God has placed eternity in our hearts. That's where we want to be. We want to be with God in heaven. And if you focus on things in this life, as the book of Ecclesiastes says, it's vain. We should be focusing our thoughts, our desires, on being with God. And God has provided the way to eternal life through Christ. We read in John chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." So the answer to all these vanities, all these pursuits of worldly things, God has provided the way for us, and that is eternal life through Christ. We also see, again, in the book of Ecclesiastes, that we are reminded that striving after the world's wealth is vanity, and it does not satisfy. Can I get a volunteer to read Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 10, please?
He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves abundance with its income. This too is vanity.
Thank you, Eileen. So, worldly people want more and more money. They want what money, the power could do for them. Christians, on the other hand, should be satisfied with what they have. It's a blessing that God had given us. Our jobs, our family, our health, our association we have with our brothers and sisters, not only in our Christian family, but in our relationship to other Christians in the world. And that's what we should be focusing on. Not satisfying ourselves with acquiring more and more money. When you start doing that, you make the money your God. And you push God out of your lives. And without Christ, we will lose our souls. Can I get a volunteer to read Mark chapter 8 and verse 36?
For what profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul?
Thank you, Carol. When you look at that particular question, when you gain the whole world but lose your soul, you'll be lost eternally. And what does it profit you? You may have all these worthy things in life, but when it's time to leave this life, you will be judged by God. And if you don't have God in your life, you will lose your soul. The preacher lived in a world where God worked behind the scenes and judged everyone. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. We read this a little while ago, but it's a verse that we should remember, the conclusion from the book of Ecclesiastes. When all has been heard, is fear God and keep his commandments. And this, because this applies to every person, for God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. Remember that. You may see people who are successful in this world and they do not have God. Remember Mark chapter 8, verse 36. What does it profit them if they forfeit, if they gain everything but lose their souls? We as Christians should be mindful of what God had given to us. We should be grateful to God. We should give him thanksgiving for everything we have. And we as Christians know that God is the sustainer of life. And one day, by God's grace and mercy, we will be with him in heaven. Christians don't live in the same world as the preachers. Christians have something he didn't experience. What do you think that is? Well, the continuous indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We are so blessed that God had given us his Spirit to guide us in our lives. And it's a shame that a lot of people, Christians, don't realize that God is with them, no matter what they do. And we all sin, we all fall short of God's glory. And that's what Paul said in the Roman letter, chapter 3, verse 23. But when we repent, we have God's gift, and that is Christ Jesus. And he wants us to be with him in heaven. And we as Christians should realize, no matter what this world gives us, as far as pleasures, as far as things, as the preacher says, it's all vanity. We as Christians should focus on God always, because he is with us. God is at work in us every single day. The world may be a messed up place, but if Christ is in us, we always have hope. Paul said in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 25 through 27. Can I get a volunteer for that one, please?
Of this church, I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. That is the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to his saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you and the hope of glory.
Thank you very much, Di. So, in Christ, we have hope. We should put our efforts on pleasing God. we should put our efforts on doing our best to serve God, doing our best to serve each and every one of our neighbors, our friends, our brothers and sisters. That's our responsibility. And as we grow in the faith, as our faith continues to mature, we have the hope of the glory to be with God. And Paul says it so well to the saints at Colossae. And as you read this particular verse, as you dwell on this particular verse, as you meditate on this particular verse, we should be very grateful that we have that opportunity as Christians to know that we will be with God in the hereafter. We all desire the meaning in life. Often that search takes us along windy, up and down paths filled with bursts of satisfaction that shine bright for a time but eventually fade. And that's what the preacher says. We are seeking what life has for us. But without God, it's nothing. When we attempt to find the meaning in pursuit of pleasure, the commitment to a job, or through exploring intellectual depths, we all eventually find in each of these pursuits a dead end. It's all vain. Ecclesiastes shows us a man who lived through this process and came out on the other side with a wiser, more seasoned perspective. We should be very thankful that God had given us this message in Scripture to reflect on in our lives, to pray about the direction we want to go as Christians, so that we can honor God and glorify Him. When we're surrounded by the temptation to proclaim life's ultimate emptiness, that's by seeking the worldly pressures, we could find in Ecclesiastes a vision tempered by experience and ultimately seen through divine colored lenses. God had given us this particular scripture, Ecclesiastes, to remind us the pursuit of worldly things is vain. We should be focusing on serving God, serving our fellow man, giving God the glory, giving Him the praise and honor. Life is destined to remain unsatisfying apart from our recognition of God's invention. How true is that in your life? God works in mysterious ways. When we pray to God, He may not answer our prayers, but He hears them, and He'll give us what is necessary in our lives. You may not like His answer, but yet He is in control. He is our Creator. He is the one that we should be following. It only remains for each individual to decide if he will place his trust in God's sure and able hands. And that's what Christians should do. We should be able to go to God and ask anything, and He knows what's good for you and I. And as Christians, we should accept what he says to us. We are reminded that striving after the world's wealth is vanity because it does not satisfy. We read this before, Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 10. He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves abundance with his income. This too is vanity. Even if we attain worldly wealth, without Christ, we would lose our souls, and what profit is there in that? Every disappointment and vanity described in Ecclesiastes has its remedy in Christ, the wisdom of God, and the only true meaning to be found in life. Every material thing under the sun considers things from an earthly viewpoint. Jesus provides a superior purpose that will provide satisfaction to the heart of man. It's through God's grace and mercy that man can have eternal life through Jesus Christ.